Okay, so this morning I want to start off with a confession. And I told Robin that I was going to wear a t-shirt that I don't have here, but it would have been this. I find your lack of cheer disturbing. It's Darth Vader. I find your lack of cheer disturbing. And I have to start off with a confession that I am mad about Star Wars. I'm absolutely mad about it. I've married into that. Before I married Lisa, I hated sci-fi or anything related to sci-fi. So there's hope for you if you're not. But since I'm now seen the light. In fact, I got to let you into a little Floam secret. Every December, without fail, for about 7-10 days, we have a screening of a Star Wars episode every night. The popcorn, the big screen, the whole deal in anticipation for the one to come, the episode to come. And then we watch the episode, and then we go rewatch it, because now we've gone through the whole thing. So pray for us. We're obsessed. But what actually happened? Yeah, you're stuck there. But what actually happened this time round? What actually happened this time round is Lisa and I sneaked off to go and watch Star Wars 8 because it's got about 2-3 days left, and then it'll be off the circuit, which was massive for us because we, as you know, have a little baby, a 1-year-old, and a bunch of kids that are able to do it. So we did it, and there was no incidents. No one, Elijah was still alive when we got back. The kids were still relatively happy with each other. And Lisa and I tiddled off and watched it. And we loved it. It was just so nice seeing it again. But there was a moment in the movie that I want to talk out of because I feel like it's a message for all of us for this year. It's a message for Central Parks. It's a message for you as individuals. And I'm going to try not to give the plot away for those diehards who haven't yet seen it. You better go this afternoon. I promise you it's that little time left. What happens in the final scenes, they've just had obliteration after obliteration. The resistance has struggled to fight the third force. Kylo Ren has risen up. And the heroine, Rey, is with General Leia. Anyone know, follow me? Who am I talking to? Which Star Wars okay, this sounds good. We can talk some more if you want. But she turns to and the heroine says to the general, how are we going to rebuild this? How are we going to do this? We're in ruin. We've escaped for the umpteenth time. Luke Skywalker's just been killed. Did I blow it for you? Luke Skywalker's just died. The resistance has been obliterated. And we're escaping again. And she says this to her. She looks at her lightsaber, obviously. And she says this. She says, you have everything you need. You have everything you need. And this morning, I want to say to you, friends, you have everything you need. And I'm going to unpack it and show you and take you through it. But some of you are looking at 2018 and saying, I'm already hopeless. I've got to rebuild certain things. There's certain relationships that I maybe need to be courageous and face up. There may be some things that I'm facing. I don't know if I have it in me. This morning I want to say, you have everything you need. And I want to go back in Scripture to the disciples with Jesus. And I want you to imagine for a moment. 3 glory years with Jesus. Can you imagine what it would have been like seeing Jesus operate like he did? Like, we don't have taxes to pay. Cool, just pull it out of the fish's mouth. Okay. We don't have food to feed. That's no problem. We've got 2 loaves and 5 fish. Other way around. No, 2 loaves and 5 fish. I always get it wrong. 5 loaves and 2 fish, less fish. Raise someone from the dead. Brought such authority in teaching. Jesus, these are my glory days. And then in an instant, he gets taken captive. He gets crucified. Can you imagine the disciples? just go there for a second. All hope is lost. I was a fisherman. I've given my life. I've said goodbye to everything. Jesus, where you lay your head, I'll lay my head. I want to follow you. I want to be with you. I want to see everything. And then you die. My goodness, that is a time to rebuild. We've got nothing now. What are we going to do? And I'm sure some of them would have said, should I go back to fishing? Should I just go back and pretend those were 3 years, learn some stuff, but let me go and go back to fishing? Friends, and Jesus appears, reappears to them before he ascends. And they're saying, oh, Jesus, you're back. Now you're going to restore the kingdom to Israel. And he says, no. What does he say? He says, go and wait in the upper room because I've got a gift for you. And that gift is going to be everything you need. That's all you need is that gift, that promised gift that's coming when you wait. Friends, I want to say to you this morning that you have to know what the gift is and how to use it if you want it to really operate in your life and to really see changes and shifts. If anyone gives you a gift, it's pointless, a remote control, whatever. You need to know how to operate it. You need to know how to operate it and what it can do. And I want to tell a story about someone who thinks he got something. Let me tell you the story. Years ago, before transatlantic flight was common, a man wanted to travel to the United States from Europe. The man worked hard, saved every extra penny he could, and finally had just enough money to purchase a ticket aboard a cruise ship. The trip at that time required about 2 or 3 weeks to cross the ocean. He went out and he bought a suitcase and filled it full of cheese and crackers. That's all he could afford. Once on board, all the other passengers went to the large, ornate dining room to eat their gourmet meals. Meanwhile, the poor man would go over in the corner and eat his cheese and crackers. This went on day after day. He could smell, picture this, he could smell the delicious food being served in the dining room. He heard the other passengers speak of it in glowing terms as they rubbed their bellies and complained about how full they were and how they would have to go on a diet after this trip. It sounds like Christmas, eh? The poor traveler wanted to join the other guests in the dining room, but he had no extra money. Sometimes he'd lie awake at night, dreaming of the sumptuous meals the other guests described. Toward the end of the trip, another man came up to him and said, "Sir, I can't help but notice that you're always over there eating those cheese and crackers at mealtimes. Why don't you come into the banquet hall and eat with us?" The traveler's face flushed with embarrassment. "Well, to tell you the truth, I only had enough money to buy the ticket. I don't have any extra money to purchase fancy meals." And the other passenger raised his eyebrows in surprise. He shook his head and said, "Sir, don't you realize the meals are included in the price of the ticket? Your meals have already been paid for." Friends, this morning, I want to remind you again of who's in you. I want to remind you again of the closeness. John Wesley said this. He says, "The greatest thing of all, is that God is with us." I want to add to that. The greatest thing of all is that Christ is in you. The greatest thing of all is the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead lives inside of you. And friends, what is this gift that he's given us? What is this gift that he's promised us? He's promised us a comforter. He's promised us dunamis, power. You will receive the Holy Spirit. As the Holy Spirit comes on you, you'll be empowered to be my witnesses, to live my life full of life, to go to the ends of the earth for me, to live great lives. You'll be empowered by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will point you to the truth. The The Holy Spirit will be close by. The Holy Spirit will point you to Jesus. The Holy Spirit will ignite something inside of you that will love him all the days of your life because it burns inside your heart. He's ever close. And friends, what we've done is we've gone back to Old Testament. I have to be in a certain place to experience the Holy Spirit. I have to be in a certain place to, or I have to go to Jacques, or I have to go to leaders to find Jesus. And he's amazing. But he's never the same as the mediator of the new covenant, who's perfect in every way and made a way and bridged the gap between our sins and the perfection of heaven and the access of heaven. What else is the Holy Spirit? He's the courage I need. Friends, there's something amazing when I have to face my giants and courage rises up in me. That's what you have. Accessible 24/7. All day, every day. What turned a timid Peter into a bold lion was the gift of the Holy Spirit to say, I have eternity in my belly. I will speak these words because I have one who's close, Parakletos, close fellowship with me. How do we use this gift? Friends, we can all say the Holy Spirit's in me, but how do I steward? How do I surrender? How do I yield myself? Because I also have free will not to let him out. I can also choose to partner with all kinds of lies. So I have a responsibility to host God's presence inside of me. And I do that as I surrender, as I recognize I am nothing compared to Jesus and the beauty of who he is. And that is available to me all the time. Not when I come on a Sunday only and I need to go and pray with the leader. It's all the time. Empowered, filled to do great things for God. So you may be facing those giants. We all do. Is there anyone here not facing a giant? Because you need to come and pray for us. And sometimes we're tempted to go the world's way using man's wisdom. This morning I'm saying to you, the Holy Spirit wants to speak to you. And he might, like last week, remember we spoke about how Joseph was specifically guided by the Holy Spirit. Go and go here, go over here, be careful here, to guide you through. And it might not make sense. Go to Egypt, really? Why would I want to go to Egypt when I live in this country? But as we follow that lead, we see that God has made a way, that he's our helper, that he's the strength that we need to go and shift. How about people who are coming across our path? Friends, I want to promise you something. When I'm running with the Tyrone Harriers at 5:30 in the morning, I don't have any music to have the presence of God fall on me. But I have his presence in me. And something rises in me to say, I can bring hope to these people because of the presence on me and working through me. And I want to encourage you this morning that we don't need just a Sunday morning. We need everyday fellowship. Holy Spirit, I surrender afresh this morning. Oh, it's beautiful to have the music. I'm not saying that. But day-to-day life, how do I live it with a sense of the Holy Spirit leading and giving me everything I need for life and godliness? Can we go to that scripture, 2 Peter 1? Peter 1:3, his divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us to his own glory and excellence. We have everything. Everything means everything. Everything we need. Tell your neighbor that if you really believe it. I have everything I need. I have everything. Point to their lightsaber. No, I'm joking. I have everything I need. Friends, it's so important that we don't live lives that are, well, I don't see it. I don't see it, therefore I don't believe it. To actually, that's what God's, my inheritance is in Christ. Can you see, friends, why we're saying this is going to be the best year of our lives? Because when we as a church rise up into the truth of what we've already equipped with, what we already have at our disposal, yeah, it doesn't necessarily quickly answer all the immediate needs, but I have a Father. I loved your picture, Sarah. I can just stand between, like the elephant stands between, and say, God, I don't understand, but I know that you'll never leave me nor forsake me through this. And I want to learn. I want to build some stamina so that I can trust you and have a history with you. When storms come, I can stand because I know God has provided all the time. Does that make sense? I'd love to teach more on the Holy Spirit and the gift that the Holy Spirit is. But I thought this morning, let's stand and let's get a refreshing. Let's ask him for a refreshing. Let's surrender afresh. Let's put all those things that are hounding us, that are keeping us up at night. Say, Jesus, I want to break through so that I can be available for others. I don't want to be so consumed by my war that I can't stand with others in their war. Can we do that? Let's stand. So for me, I just felt just a fresh surrender to the Holy Spirit. For some of you, it's a physical pain that distracts you. God, where are you? I'm still struggling with this thing. And all I want to do is just say, Lord, I surrender it to you, and I know you want to heal me. Isn't that a different approach? The one says I lack, and the other says, no, God heals. And I don't see it yet, but he heals. And I move towards that, and I open my heart towards that. So we're just going to surrender and quiet our hearts and turn our affections to him. We're going to try and shut out the noise of a world that wants us to do it rationally. And step 3 and 4 and 5. And this morning we're just saying, Holy Spirit, fall afresh on me. You're everything I need. You're all I need. With you, I can climb those mountains. I can speak to mountains and they'll move. I want this to be the year. I surrender afresh. I want this to be the year filled with great faith adventures. Can you say that this morning? I want this year to be filled with great faith adventures where you've spoken and it doesn't make sense and it puts me way out there, but I trust you. Friends, so many of us, it's just the routine of life keeps me going and I'm comfortable and it's nice and safe within the boundaries. I promise you, you also put up your hand to say, God, use me. I want to make a difference. You've got to be out the boundaries. You've got to say, God, I'm available. I'm available when I'm rushing off to a meeting and someone really needs me. I'm available. I want my eyes open to see what's in front of me. I make myself available to you, Jesus, for these faith adventures. These faith adventures. These stepping out, these risk-taking, these stretching. I'm feeling that this is a your time with him, but some people just need others to stand with them and hear them out and fight for their hearts. But I just feel just a fresh turning our affections towards Jesus. A fresh, Father, surrender. I want to host you in my life. I want to host your presence. I want to walk with you. I want to hear your voice louder than the world's voice, louder than my fears, louder than my brokenness. I want to go after that. Use me, O God, to bring change in your world.